much for being here this morning. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Is this on? Is it working? Okay, good. All right, I can't quite tell all the time because sometimes the monitors are doing different things. But we want to welcome you to Five Forks Baptist Church. If this is your first time being with us, let me say this. I would love it if you would take just a second right in front of you. If you're sitting in one of our pews right in front of you, you're going to find a connection card. If you're sitting in like one of the wings where there are chairs or something like that, you may need to look right over in the pew across from you and you'll be able to get that. If you could take just a moment and fill that card out, we would love to have a record of your being a guest. Here's what we would like to do as well. If you could hang around for just a second, you can hand that card to me. I would love to just be able to talk with you for a moment in a socially distanced fashion. Okay, so don't worry about that. But I would love to just talk with you, tell you a little bit about our church, find out a little bit about you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I want to take just a moment and tell you about a few things that we have going on that may or may not have hit your radar from the bulletin. First of all, in the bulletin, you have actually a couple of inserts. You've got one that looks like this, okay? So you'll want to have a look at that. First of all, we are looking for a few good people. Okay, we are looking for some nursery workers, some people who will be able to share the love of Jesus from the earliest ages of some of our kids here at Five Forks Baptist. It's such an amazing ministry. The theme verse for the ministry, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Okay, think on it. Yeah, there you go. All right. It took a while. It kind of rippled. It was like the wave, yeah, when it went that way, yeah. But you can have the great opportunity to be able to be almost, we talk about the first line of defense. You're the first line of greeting for a lot of guests that we will have who have kids and want to know that their kids are going to be loved and cared for by somebody who loves Jesus. And so that's a great opportunity. I want to encourage you, fill this out, drop it in. There is a basket right when you leave today. Just drop it in that basket and we will get it where it goes, okay? Second thing, you have one of these in your bulletin as well. This is an invitation to the family drive-in movie we are having on October 30th. One of the things that we really want to be able to do, worldwide pandemic or not, is reach out into the community. And every year we've had a fall festival. Well, the fall festival's needing to look a little bit different this year, but we still want to be able to get people from the community to come and to enjoy something right here on the Five Forks campus. So I want to encourage you to take this. You know about this, or take a picture of it with your phone so you remember it, okay? Then take this and hand it to somebody else, somebody that you know who has kids, somebody that you know who can be a part of what God is doing here. It's a great and easy way to invite somebody to something that's going on at Five Forks Baptist Church. I also want to let you know, too, when you give, whether you give in the basket when you come in or whether you mail it to 112 Batesville Road in Simpsonville, South Carolina, or whether you go to fiveforks.org and then you navigate up to the right-hand side to that give portion of that page. When you give, your faithful giving is what enables us to do stuff like this. It gives us the ability to reach out in some unique and distinctive ways in this community. So I want to encourage you and thank you for your giving, but also let you know that it is having an impact in people's lives. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus and Simon Peter are having a conversation, and Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then he gives that phrase, and we've heard it a lot of different times. "You are Peter. On this rock, talking about himself and the testimony of who he really is. I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. Jesus Christ said that, Emmanuel, God with us. He says, I will build my church. And then there's that phrase right there where it says, the gates of hell will not overpower it or prevail against it. You know, in those days, you had gates and walls that surrounded a city to be able to provide protection from enemies who were without. So what would happen is when there was a time when you would find enemies, they would close the city gates and they would wall themselves. They were already walled up, and so because of that, they could withstand the enemy. Well, right outside the gates, that's where the wisest men of the city would always gather. They would gather to be able to talk about the affairs of the city, to talk about how they could best perform all the functions that needed to be taken place. And in times of battle, those same guys would strategize about what to do. By that expression, a lot of scholars think what Jesus was saying is this: let the devil and all the demons of hell counsel and plan together how to prevent me from building my church, but they're not going to be able to do that. Today, here, where you are gathered, 112 Batesville Road, Simpsonville, there stands a tribute to Jesus's prowess in performing. There gathers here a body of believers, the true church of Jesus Christ. The church building where you are gathered is a physical testimony of the people he has gathered to constitute his church. Now, we talk about the church as a building, and that's okay. You know, if somebody asks you where you go to church and you were over at Regions Bank, you would just point over and say, I go to that church. But nonetheless, the church is a body of believers. So God gave us memories. So lest we forget, let's learn and remember a little bit from our past. The reason I bring all this up today and in the month of October is generally when Five Forks Baptist Church would celebrate homecoming. Well, we're not doing that because of COVID-19 and some of the considerations involved in that. We decided to just forego that and do it up big next year. But 46 years ago, just this past July, a group of faithful followers of Christ from this community gathered. Hendersonville, North Carolina, actually, at Kelly's campground. And they began a discussion of what would eventually become this church body. Everything that you see around you is a testament to the faith of those people who believed what God said he would do. This church was established on and continues on the Bible as the basis of our belief and how we live our lives. Jesus Christ as the object of our faith, and holy living as the intended result of faith in Jesus Christ. That burning oneness that group of people had 46 years ago is something that still carries through today. Now, from 1974 until now, methods change, absolutely. But the message does not. I am thankful today for those people who had vision to see what God could do. We're looking today, though, at a series of parables. Actually, it's really one parable with several different facets, which Jesus gives us in the 15th chapter of Luke. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn to Luke chapter 15, you can do that. If you don't have a Bible, open up your bulletin. Down at the bottom of the notes page, you are going to find a digital link. So if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, you can pull those notes up digitally and follow along that way. But Luke chapter 15, we are thinking and prepping training our minds with this idea of looking for the lost, reaching out to people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So these parables all speak about the importance of lost things and of our responsibility to really emulate what Jesus Christ did in seeking and saving the lost. The text of the message today is specifically going to be found in verses 8, 9, and 10, but I want us to go back up and to look at those first three verses of this text in Luke chapter 15 to give us this idea and this understanding of why Jesus is doing what he's doing and why he's saying what he's saying. So Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this: all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. And then right after that, if you recall, last week we looked at the parable of the lost sheep. We looked at this facet where God is searching for that lost sheep. Let's pick it up in verse 8, though, and see the second dimension. It says, "Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her women friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin I lost.' I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents." Now that God's spoken to us, let's speak with him in reading his word. Father, thank you. You have, in the reading of your word today, you've given us a message. And now we reflect back to you and we say thank you for that. And we ask that you will take your word, as you have promised you will do, and apply it to our hearts and lives today. Lord, I pray that the burning oneness to reach this community for Christ that began in 1974 would continue in this day and even become greater. In Jesus' name, amen. I've told you the key words for this passage: lost and found. You see it in a lot of different ways all through the entire chapter. Lost and found, four different times in four different ways it's expressed. So the context of this passage is really important because it gives us this idea of why Jesus is doing what he said he was doing. Remember, we talked last week about how there was this time when all of these, it says, sinners and tax collectors came to Jesus and listened to him. Now, if you go back to the last verse of chapter 14, you remember why. Because Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so people were coming to listen. They were coming to hear what he had to say. And so some of these people coming were people who did not really have any religious affiliation. Now, it's weird for us to say that because this was the Jewish people, and their race and their culture and their religion at this point in Israel's history were very, very intermingled with each other. But these were people who stood out from the rest of the crowd and said, "I'm not really interested in doing the religious stuff. Yeah, you know, I'll get together with my family and that sort of thing, but I'm not interested in the feasts. I'm not interested in going to the synagogue. I'm not interested in sacrifice at the temple. I'm not interested in any of that stuff." And so these are the kinds of people who are coming to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes, kind of the religious leaders of the day, are looking at that group of people saying, "Do you see what he's doing? He's got all of these people around him who don't want to have anything to do with our religion." Jesus was in the business of seeking those who were lost. That's true. There was something about the Pharisees that drove these people away. They hated sinners. They despised people who were outcast, who were not according to their standards as good as they ought to be. But Jesus drew sinners. There was something about Jesus that attracted people to him. Now, remember last week we talked about that's not because Jesus catered to people and compromised his message. As a matter of fact, if you go through the Gospels, you see on numerous occasions where Jesus tells people to stop living a life of sin and to turn it around. So he calls them to, the word we use is repentance. Repentance means I am going one way, and all of a sudden I have a change of heart that comes out as a change in my life, and I turn to follow Jesus instead of following my own way. Jesus didn't condone the things they were doing, but there was something about the love and understanding of Jesus that attracted people to him. And I am glad for that, and I hope you are too. Because if Jesus did not receive sinners, nobody in this room could come to faith in Jesus. God invites those who are lost to come to him, and that is an incredible privilege. That's the purpose of these three parables. All these parables, you have the picture of the lostness of people, but it also tells you something about why they were lost. If you look at the first dimension, that first part of the parable, the lost sheep. The lost sheep is lost because of waywardness. It just wandered off. It started munching on some good grass, just happened to not look up, and went further and further and further until it looks up and it no longer knows where it is. Lost because of waywardness. On the other hand, this lost silver that we're talking about today was lost because of carelessness. The son that we're going to look at next week was lost because of rebelliousness. So here's a picture of the lostness of men. Now, Jesus is interested in lost people. He is concerned with people who are lost. So I want us to look this morning about what the Bible says about the lost silver. You have some notes in your notes page. That's going to be a guide and kind of a remembrance for you as you leave this place to think about it. First thing I want you to see is the woman losing the silver. You've got a blank in your notes page. That's what goes in that first blank. The woman losing the silver. Now, probably it would not be that significant a matter for you and I to lose a coin. How many of you in your car, whether it's in a cup holder or an ashtray or some other device that is created specifically for that, have a big wad of change in your car? Raise your hand. All right, yes. All right. Oh, wow, now we've got people hollering. Yes, yeah. So, Noah, you've got a lot of change? All right, yeah, okay. So, it helps. You drive around, You go around through the drive-thru, you need a few cents, it's good to be able to pull that out. Yeah. So for most of us, if you lose 35 cents, it probably fell under the seat. You dig around under there, you pull out a few French fries, and then you finally get the 35 cents. And so everything's back the way it ought to be. For most of us, that's just not a big deal. But to this woman, this is a very serious matter. It was serious, first of all, because of what she lost. She'd lost this silver coin. Now, currency back then was not as plentiful as it is today. Money was very scarce. Most of the time, they bartered for stuff that they had and that they wanted. So they didn't have a great deal of actual money on hand. But this right here is the Greek word drachma. Drachma. And if you look that up, if you look up what a drachma is, it's the rough equivalent of a Roman denarius, which was a day's wage for a rural worker. So this is not an insignificant amount of money, around $120 in today's money. So it's a good amount that we would be looking at. This was a valuable, significant amount. So the loss was great because it represented a great deal of money, but it's also great because of what it represented to her. A lot of scholars believe that this was part of her frontlet. Now, you hear a talk about that and you say, what are you talking about, Pastor Tim? Well, women in those days, when they would get betrothed, would receive 10 coins that they used as something like a tiara. There would be a rope that would be wrapped around each one of those coins, and they would be placed on their forehead, and they would wear it like a piece of jewelry. It was a symbol to the entire world that they were betrothed, that this guy loved them, and that they were going to be married. Now, an interesting part of this story is occasionally, now, this is not adultery, okay? This is not actual sexual immorality with somebody who is not your spouse, okay? But occasionally, if a woman were seen talking to a man who was not her betrothed, okay, you weren't supposed to do that in those days. And if you were a man, you weren't supposed to talk to a woman either. If you look, that's why at the woman at the well, John chapter 4, she's very surprised that Jesus strikes up this conversation with her because she's a woman and he's a guy. And that just did not happen very often. So if you saw her talking to another man, then sometimes they would take one of those coins out of that frontlet, out of that front piece, and so everybody who was looking would say, oh, wow, I wonder what she did, you know, that thing got removed. So losing this coin is a big deal because of the perception that it gives as well. So it is important because of what was lost. The point Jesus is trying to make, you look at the first part of the parable, lost sheep. You look at the second parable, lost silver. Jesus is trying to say a soul is very valuable to God. It is far more valuable than an animal, far more valuable than a coin. And the Heavenly Father has a burden on his heart for lost people. Lost people are valuable to God. That person who is your neighbor who does not know Jesus as their Savior, that person who is your coworker, your relative, your uncle or aunt or cousin, that person is very valuable to the God of the universe. So they ought to be valuable to you, and they ought to be valuable to me, because they're valuable to him. Jesus is interested in the one. Remember, there was 100 sheep, but one of them went missing. And so the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. One coin is missing. There are still 9 coins. But the lady sweeps her house, lights a lamp, looks everywhere for that one coin because it's valuable. Today we live in a day of mass, of large things. Mass transit, mass media. We move people, places, back and forth in mass. People are just a part of the whole. But God is interested in the one. God is interested in the one person, maybe in this building today, who does not know Jesus as their Savior. God is interested in the one person, maybe listening today, who does not know Jesus as their Savior. He's interested in you. It was serious because of what she'd lost, but it was also serious because of where it was lost. Where it was lost. Where was it lost? It was lost in 3 different areas if you really look at the text here. First of all, it was lost in the dark, okay? Because it says she lights a lamp. Now remember, in those days, a lot of houses had no windows in them. The only light that's coming in is the light that comes in from the open door. And so she probably opens up the door, but then she lights a lamp so that she can go and look around in all of the dark corners and things like that. It was lost in the dark. But it was also lost in the dirt. Because remember, back in those days, they don't have hardwood. They don't have carpet. They don't have linoleum or tile or anything like that in most people's houses. They have dirt. And so it was lost down in the dirt. And so she takes a broom and she begins to sweep around, probably sweeping up and kicking up dust everywhere when that's happening. So here's a coin that was lost. It was lost in the dark. It was lost in the dirt. But I want you to see it was also lost in the dwelling. It was lost in the dwelling. It was lost somewhere in her house. She knew it was somewhere in the confines of that place. So apparently she knew kind of the region where she had lost it. You know, you think about the lost sheep, the one we looked at last week. Some people are like that lost sheep. Some people just go off in the mountain of sin. They get wayward. Some people are going to be like the guy that we talk about next week. They're lost out there in the far country. But then there are some people who are like this silver coin. They're lost right in church. They're lost in the house. Now, I wouldn't for any reason try to disturb you or confuse you about your faith. I don't want to put a seed of doubt in your heart today, but I want to caution you not to assume that you are born again because your parents were born again, or because they bring you to church every week, or because you've come to church every week for years and years, or because at some point you were baptized somewhere, or because you had an experience with a preacher, because you signed a church card, put your name on a roll, because you shook a preacher's hand. I don't want you to think that makes you born again. Maybe you were brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you know all the lingo. Maybe there's nothing in the bulletin that you look at and say, I wonder what that means. You know all that stuff. But you've never genuinely been born again. I heard about a preacher one time. He was talking to a guy and he says, are you a Baptist? He says, yeah, I'm a Baptist. He says, oh, are you one of those narrow-minded Baptists who believe only Baptists go to heaven? The preacher said, I'm more narrow-minded than that. I believe there are Baptists that aren't going to heaven. Folks, it's true. There are people who will go to church every Sunday of their life and wake up in hell. Being a Baptist will not get you to heaven. Being religious will not get you to heaven. Here was a coin and it was lost right in the house. I have a feeling there are people right under the sound of my voice today who need to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And I want you to know this, if that is the case, today you can go from lost to found. I wonder Sunday school teachers, I wonder committee members, I wonder deacons, I wonder students, are there some lost people here today? We're talking about lostness, people who need to be found. You see the woman looking for the silver. She searched for it. This is a picture, I told you last week, a picture of the Holy Spirit. She looks for it in some really important ways. The Bible says that she looks for it intelligently. Intelligently. What does it say that she does? It says that she takes it and she lights a lamp and she gets out a broom. And so she looks all over the place for this silver using tools, using equipment that are going to be able to help her. Psalm 119:30 is a great verse. It says, the entrance of your word gives light. So the Holy Spirit will take the word of God. As you listen to it being taught, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and will bring it alive in your heart and in your life. And you'll say, that's something I need to do. That's an area that I need to change. That's a place where I need to be different. So she searches intelligently by using a light. The light that is used in our lives is the Word of God. There is no life apart from light. Anybody who's taken a science class knows all about photosynthesis and knows all about how that works. The work of the sun bringing light to bear on a flower. But the same thing is true spiritually. There can be no spiritual life without light. And the light comes from the Word of God. Now, suppose you're at one of those cave systems. I don't know if you've ever been to Carter Caves in Kentucky, or if you've ever been to Carlsbad Caverns, if you've ever been to Mammoth Cave or anything like that. But you go into one of those cave systems. Maybe you're on a guided tour. One thing they always do when they get you in there is they turn all the lights off. They say, okay, everybody stand still, and then they turn the lights off. And your eyes will not adjust to that light. You sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait, and all you can see is pitch black until they turn the light back on. And when they turn the light back on, you see all of these beautiful stalactites, stalagmites, all these beautiful different things that you didn't see when everything was dark. The light provides the ability to see beauty. A lost person isn't interested in being found. I said to you last week, lost people aren't looking for church. Lost people aren't necessarily interested in the Bible. But that's why it is important when you share the gospel with somebody that you use the Word of God, because the Bible tells us that it is the Word that gives light and therefore life. If you want to see somebody's life change, get them into the Word of God. She searched intelligently, but she also searched diligently. She searched diligently for it. Man, if you had walked by her house while this was going on, you would have seen all kinds of dust being kicked up everywhere while she was trying to get after this and trying to find this coin. You would see dust piling out because she's got that broom and she's working that broom everywhere to try to find what she's looking for. You know, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit I told you last week. The Holy Spirit will kick up stuff in your life. Sometimes you look at your life and say, why is it that I have all these stress points? Maybe you need to ask and say, God, what are you trying to show me? Is there something you're trying to show me right now? Something I need to see in my life? Because God, the Holy Spirit, will kick up dust to help you see something important in your life. That's what happened with this woman. Some of you may be uncomfortable and you may be agitated and you may be disturbed and you don't have the foggiest idea what that means. You don't know the problem. But maybe the Holy Spirit is searching for you today. Maybe the Father wants you to be found. And that's what He's using to make sure that happens. She searched diligently. I want you to see finally, though, the woman locating the silver. The woman locating the silver. She finds it, and then, by the way, all of these words in the text in the Greek language, the language the Bible was originally, or the New Testament was originally written in, they're all feminine, which is why the text says she gathers together her women friends. So she gathers all these ladies around, and she says, rejoice with me because I have found the peace that I have lost. And we keep going back to this over and over again, the joy that happens when the lost are found. The joy that happens when the lost sheep is found. The joy that happens when the lost silver is found. Next week we'll talk about the joy that happens when the lost son is found. The party that takes place. Lost and found. The joy of God when a lost sinner comes to faith in Jesus. She rejoiced because that coin was useful again. You know, you have a lost coin, it's out of circulation. How many of you have gone through a drive-thru recently and you see that little sign up that says, due to the national coin shortage, we ask that you pay with a debit card or credit card or use exact change. How many of you have seen that? Yeah, a whole bunch of you. So, what happens? Why is there a coin shortage? Well, there's a coin shortage because there are a whole lot of businesses that after COVID-19 have not yet reopened, and there's money sitting in the tills in those businesses that's not in circulation. If it's not in circulation, it's not useful. And so when this woman found this coin, it was useful again. Could I ask you this morning, what are you going to do with your life? Students, some of you maybe with your whole life ahead of you, we use that expression. What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to spend your life? It's interesting, we talk about that, and the very first thing that we gravitate towards is an occupation. We say, oh, I'm going to be this. I'm going to do that. You can waste your life, you can spend your life, or you can invest your life on something that will outlast it. You can put your life into circulation. I could tell you story after story after story of great people of God who said, I am going to put my life into circulation so that it can be used for whatever God wants. And when they make that statement, when they write God that blank check, He fills in the blank in an amazing way that they could never have dreamed. Y'all, if I had a 1,000 lives to live, I would live every one of them for Jesus. And I encourage you to live yours for Him as well. She rejoiced because it was useful again, but she rejoiced also because it was beautiful again. Everything was back in place the way it was supposed to be. Now it calls attention to and compliments her beauty, and it tells an amazing story. That is the purpose of God in your life, that your life tell an amazing story of His grace. So if you're lost this morning, just like that silver coin, God is seeking for you. The Holy Spirit is turning the light on, and He's kicking up all kinds of dust in your life to help you see Him. And I want to tell you, you can walk out of this building today. We're going to sing a closing song. That song is Blessed Assurance. You can walk out of this building today with the blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to take a moment and I am going to pray for you. Then I'm going to ask you to stand. Father, I pray in this time, the time we call the invitation, I pray that You would work in the hearts of people. There are people who need to respond to You. There are decisions that need to be made. Right now, You are working in their hearts to confirm those decisions. I pray You'll give them the wisdom to follow through and to know what to do next, and then the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something. I understand it's going to take great courage in your life. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat, make your way into one of the four aisles, come down to the front and join me here for prayer. Some of you may be, some of what we talked about with that coin, you may be lost in the dwelling. Maybe you've just realized for the first time in your life, I've never been born again. I need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to step out, to come. All you have to do is say, Pastor Tim, I need Jesus. And it would be our privilege to lead you to faith and trust in Jesus today. So you come. But if you do know Jesus, maybe there's that lost relative, that lost neighbor, that lost coworker, that lost associate that you have, and you say, I need them to know Jesus. And you want to come and you want to pray that they'll come to faith in Christ. You can do that today as well. Maybe there's a need in your life I haven't even touched on, but God the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and you say, I have to do that. Then you come as well. Whatever that need is in your life, I can tell you Jesus can meet it. So as we sing this song, don't wait for somebody else. You come.